are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you once again on this Wednesday edition of the show. And you know what that means. On a Wednesday, we are doing the Wednesday crossover. And my guest today is Patricia Traina, who is the host of Locked On Giants, also writes for The Athletic and all kinds of places. So I'm excited to talk to her and look forward to this Monday night matchup between the 49ers and Giants, who have had some great matchups in the history of these two teams. We'll see if this goes down as an all-timer, even though neither one of these teams is where they want to be as far as wins and losses are concerned. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at BDPeacock. Email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. You can subscribe, rate, review the show on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Podcasts. You can find the podcast everywhere, including LockedOn49ers.com and other articles about the 49ers at LockedOn49ers.com from myself, John Chick, or Chris Wilson, who you might have heard on the recent roundtable episodes of the show. A quick bit of news before we bring Patricia on the show. And actually, I will go ahead and let Nick Mullins let you know if Kyle Shanahan has officially told him if he's the starting quarterback this week.
He did. You know, we discussed it, and obviously the situation is what it is. The team's ready to get to work. Treat it like any other week, you know. My preparation doesn't change. This team's preparation doesn't change, and we're excited to keep things going.
There you have it. Nick Mullins is officially the starting quarterback, at least for Week 10 on Monday Night Football, another primetime matchup. Nick Mullins against the New York Giants, and presumably that means he's also been named the starting quarterback for really the rest of the year unless he falls on his face. So a big matchup here for Nick Mullins and the 49ers for him to prove that he is the guy going forward out of next week's bye and for the rest of the season. And so this is going to be, I think, a really fun game, and I think it's rejuvenated the 49ers. I think you could feel that on the field. You could feel it when players talked about the game after the game, and you absolutely could feel it among the fan base and how pumped the 49ers fans are now just to have something else to watch and have a different feel with Nick Mullins in there and something else to root for in what has been a lost season for the 49ers after so many hopes were crushed early in the year, seeing Jimmy Garoppolo go down with a torn ACL. And later in the week, we'll get more into the injury report and look deeper into this matchup. But I want to give as much time as possible to Patricia. So let's bring on today's guest and get rolling with this crossover. All right. Welcome back to another Locked On Podcast Network crossover episode. It is Wednesday, so we're doing the weekly Wednesday crossover. My guest today is host of Locked On Giants, Patricia Traina, joining me here on the show. Patricia, how are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Of course, I'm excited to talk about this Monday night matchup. So many great 49ers-Giants matchups in the history of these two franchises. This might not be one of the ones that people are writing books about in the future, coming in with, three combined wins between these two teams. But I think it's going to be fun, a primetime matchup against two teams that I think the NFL wants to be good. And I think when they put these two teams on the schedule, they hoped they would be a lot better record-wise than they are. But anytime it's prime time, it's exciting. And I think the 49ers felt that vibe against the Raiders last Thursday, being, you know, a nice local rivalry with the Battle of the Bay. And I think there's going to be a nice vibe to this one at Levi's Stadium against the New York Giants. Do you agree?
Yeah, I definitely think so. The Giants are coming off their bye week. You know, they're rested. They're energetic. They're not giving up on the season, even though the season has definitely not gone the way that they wanted to. They're still playing to win. Every player I talk to says, you know, look, if we just make a catch here, we make an interception here, we do this, we could have turned these games around. We could have won them. And I'm of the opinion, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, didn't. So I think the coaches went back. They looked at everything. They're going to make some changes, some of which, you know, you're going to see, some of which are not going to be as evident. And hopefully the energy is going to be there and it's going to be a good game. I mean, the last thing I think any of us want is another snooze fest on primetime. So hopefully it'll be a nice matchup between two teams that are, you know, even though they're mathematically still in it, they're technically out of it. But a lot of pride on the line. So it should be a good one.
All right, I want to talk about this quarterback matchup in a second and how different those two quarterbacks' careers are coming into this week. But you mentioned something that I think is really important. Last year, the 49ers' first win of the season was against the New York Giants. It's the only win in C.J. Beathard's career as quarterback. And I remember thinking after that game, wow, the New York Giants did not care at all. They did not want to win this football team. It was by far the worst team I saw the 49ers play last year. So it's interesting that you mentioned that the team hasn't quit now. Do you think that's a coaching thing? What's the vibe like on another lost season, and how come maybe mentally and maybe they have a little bit more heart right now than they did last year at this time?
I think it's a few reasons. Number one, Pat Shurmur has done a really good job keeping that locker room together. You know, unlike Ben McAdoo, who was the head coach before him, Pat Shurmur actually shows up in the locker room. He sits and he has lunch with his players. You know, he goes to the weight room when they're in there working out. He takes the opportunity to get to know these guys, and not just, you know, in football sense, but also, you know, on a personal sense. And that's so key, to have someone that shows that, you know, he cares about you, your well-being, you know, how are things going and all that stuff. The other thing the Giants did is they brought in a bunch of veteran leaders, Alec Ogletree, Michael Thomas from the Dolphins, Nate Solder from the Patriots. They also have, you know, some returning leaders, Landon Collins, Zach DiAssi, Eli Manning, you know, just a bunch of guys that they brought in. And these guys have basically made sure that that locker room has stayed together. So you don't see guys that are skipping out on say, for example, you know, they're coming back late from the bye. You don't see guys who are snipping at each other and fighting with each other, pointing fingers. I mean, all these things happened under McAdoo's watch, and they're not happening this year. And basically, Shurmur has not thrown in the towel. He doesn't want these guys to think, okay, you know what, we're playing for the future, so let's just, you know, skate the rest of the way. He tells them, look, if you earn opportunities in practice, you're going to get snaps in the game, and you're going to see a lot of young guys in this game who have earned those opportunities. And, you know, it's kind of a merit reward system, and it's really worked well and gone over well in the locker room.
So let's start with the offensive side of the ball for the New York Giants and going against the 49ers defense. And it looks like the Giants head coach Pat Shurmur has announced that Eli Manning will be the starting quarterback Monday night, so they're not going to shake up the quarterback position coming off the bye. First of all, as far as Eli Manning goes, how has he looked this year? Do you think there's some fall off as far as obviously, he's not playing at the level he did before, and this isn't a team bound for the Super Bowl, and Eli does have rings in his career. But just as far as the guy, does it seem like he's beaten down after all the weird stuff that happened last year with the benching and the drama there and just being on another losing team?
I think he's beaten down beyond that, to be honest with you. He hasn't had a good offensive line in front of him since, I want to say, 2013. He has been hit a lot. I mean, you look at his numbers this year. He's already been sacked 31 times through 8 games. He was sacked 31 times all of last year. And we thought last year's line was bad. This year's line has just been, you know, for whatever reason, they haven't been cohesive. Now, they've had some injuries. They've had to swap out some parts. They've swapped out a few others due to, you know, performance. It's terrible. And what's happened to Eli Manning is he was a quarterback who used to be able to anticipate the rush and move around just enough to escape it. Well, when you have the rush coming and you have no idea where it's coming from, you know, you line up behind center and you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, is my left tackle going to screw up, or is my right tackle going to screw up? Who's going to screw up? Now you become skittish. And that's what we're seeing with Eli Manning. He's starting to hear footsteps that aren't necessarily there on some cases, and he either will cave in and just go down, or he'll throw the ball wildly, and it's a shame to see the beating that he's taking. I don't know how he gets up hit after hit.
Wow, so he's beaten up physically and mentally. So my question is then, how close are we to seeing the rookie Kyle LaLetta at quarterback for the Giants, and did LaLetta's traffic incident hurt his chances?
I don't think the traffic incident hurt his chances. I mean, Pat Shurmur basically said today, that today being Tuesday, that they would deal with LaLetta internally. So I took that to mean they're going to do a fine. He did say that, you know, they're not going to suspend him. Now, I don't know if the league is going to get involved for any potential violations against the NFL personal conduct policy. The legal process still has to play out because, you know, LaLetta was supposed to have a court date on Wednesday, the 7th, and that was postponed at the defendant's request. So, you know, that has to be resolved. But, you know, the bottom line with LaLetta is that he right now is not ready to step in and take the reins for Eli Manning. And I think, you know, Shermer actually said something to that effect in his Tuesday press conference. He said, look, LaLetta is a quarterback that comes from a smaller program. There's a lot of things that, you know, a quarterback at this level has to learn and master before you can put him out there. So the last thing you want to do is put him out there before he's ready, because if you do that, now you risk, you know, damaging his confidence, especially when you're playing behind an unstable offensive line.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. All right. We got to get on with this 49ers and Giants Locked On crossover podcast. More with Patricia after this. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is super easy to use. So lay down some cash and win big today. And of course, some special offers for Locked On 49ers listeners. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MYBOOKIE. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim that bonus. They will match your first deposit 100% up to $1,000. In MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. All right, my guest today on this Wednesday crossover episode is Patricia Traina. She is the host of Locked On Giants. We've talked a lot about the quarterbacks here. We got to get to some predictions, but I want to talk a little bit more about the matchups with the Giants and 49ers on Monday Night Football. So sticking with the offense for the New York Giants going against the 49ers defense, I know Saquon Barkley's on pace for like some crazy number of receptions, like 120 receptions as a running back out of the backfield. Is he all of a sudden now Eli Manning's number one target?
You know, sometimes numbers can be deceiving. I wouldn't say he's his number one target. I think that's still Odell Beckham Jr. But lately Manning has gone to Saquon Barkley on the check down. And it's funny because, you know, we've started calling him check down Charlie, that yeah. being Eli Manning, given the number of check down passes he's thrown to Barkley. But, you know, one of the things I think we may see in this game against the 49ers, and we saw a little bit of it when they played the Washington team before the bye, getting Saquon Barkley out to space. You know, we marveled over it all spring when we saw him running wheel routes against linebackers and just making them look foolish. You know, we marveled when we saw Barkley line up as a wide receiver and just burn defensive backs. And then comes the season, and what happens? We don't see it as much. And we're like, wait a minute. Was all this we saw, you know, a mirage? Or what's the deal here? So I do think, you know, Barkley is a tremendous talent, and he is a guy, you know, he's a hard runner. You look at the yardage he has, his rushing yardage, and a lot of that he's done on his own because, you know, the run blocking just hasn't been very good. But one area they haven't really used him in a whole lot is as a receiver type, you know, other than obviously for the check down. And I do think moving forward, that element is going to start to come out in the game. I mean, it has to. I mean, they had such success with it. Not just in the spring and in the summer, but last week, week and a half ago when they played Washington. So that will be something to definitely keep an eye on, seeing if they can't get Barkley isolated against a linebacker.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the keys for the 49ers is being able to keep up with Barkley. And they got hurt on that, especially early in the season. I think Reuben Foster being healthy and on the field is going to be a huge matchup there, watching him chase Saquon Barkley sideline to sideline. Now, aside from being a receiver, and he's such a freak athlete, Saquon Barkley is, and his ability to break big runs and bounce plays outside. And that was one of the things I noticed about him in college and his transition to the NFL. I was like, well, for being 230 pounds or whatever he is, he's a freak of nature. He's so athletic, but he bounces everything outside, and he's almost got that Barry Sanders-esque ability to make big plays. But like Barry Sanders, he also gets caught for losses because he's not as decisive in the hole as he could be and just taking that 2 or 3 yards that he needs to sometimes. And if I'm not mistaken, he leads the league in negative runs as well. So how has he been as sort of an interior runner? Is there a little bit of not disappointment, but the coaching staff trying to work with him to be better in between the tackles and not just bounce everything outside and look for the big play all the time?
Well, that was one of the knocks on him coming out of college, is that he doesn't have the patience. He's always looking for the home run ball, so to speak. And, you know, you put him behind an offensive line, which thus far has not run blocked well. Let's call it for what it is. So I think, you know, that just makes the problem even worse, where, you know, he starts to run between the tackles and there's a crease, and then it's like, okay, is that crease going to stay open by the time I get there? Nah, you know, let me play it safe and bounce it outside. So I think that factors into the whole thing. But yes, the Giants would ultimately like to see him, you know, stick to his runs, show a little bit more patience. But, you know, at the same time, like I said, that offensive line has not been consistent, and they have to earn their keep there and show that they can, you know, open up a hole just for enough in time for Barkley to squirt through it, because, you know, he's not a slow runner. He's going to hit that hole and he's going to burst through it. But for whatever the reason, the Giants have just had trouble blocking inside the tackles there, and you know, with struggles getting to the second level and whatnot. And like I said before, Barkley has had to make a lot of the yardage he's gotten on his own.
And it makes things so difficult for everything if you don't have the offensive line solidified. And we saw that for the 49ers and how much better it's made them offensively, and especially in the run game, to have that really good offensive line. And I think they've been protecting pretty well, aside from C.J. Beathard being, and even Jimmy Garoppolo early in the year, was kind of holding on to the ball a little bit too long. But when the offensive line is in shambles and non-functional, you can't really do anything else. So it's got to be difficult for Eli Manning to see that. And of course, Saquon Barkley's part of that as well, even though he's been pretty good in the passing game from looking at the numbers, at least. And he's been a fantastic fantasy football player because of that PPR and all those receptions. So sticking with the offense, one more question here. I got to ask about Odell Beckham. What's going on with him? When the ownership starts to call you out, things can get weird. I know he's got a newer contract, so I don't think he could ever go anywhere. So what's he looking like off the field? And then how is he being utilized on the field?
Well, let me answer the question about on the field. What's interesting about the Giants offense is they have run a lot of short passes. And by that, I mean they're running a low to high concept, where it just looks like, because Eli has to get that ball out of his hands so quickly, given his pass protection, he can't afford to take the 5 and 7 drops that he used to take. So he's got a quick drop back, get the ball out. And a lot of times what we've seen so far in the first 8 games is we haven't seen a lot of receivers run to the sticks. It's been these short underneath passes, and then, you know, get the ball in the hands of these receivers and let them do their thing and go crazy. Now, Odell has had some success with that. And then there have been other times when, you know, defenses have just clamped down on him with bracket coverage. So, you know, it's been a trick trying to get him wide open on these deeper routes. It's happened on occasion, but for the most part, most of his receptions have been as almost like a possession receiver. Off the field, you know, Odell is Odell. He's trying to be a leader. You know, he just turned 26 years old. I believe yesterday was his birthday, yesterday being Monday. He's trying to be a leader for that team. He doesn't quite know how to do it. I mean, because he'll say things that, you know, such as the interview that he did with ESPN, which, you know, by now we all know what he said and how it came across. And he, you know, he was trying to fire his teammates up. I get that. But at the same time, you can't call guys out and throw them under the bus like that. I don't think he would much appreciate that if one of his teammates would do that. And John Mara, the co-owner, did call him out on that. But, you know, Odell is Odell. He's a unique talent. He's not going anywhere, despite, you know, all the trade rumors that existed before the trade deadline. You know, the contract's going to prohibit that. And, you know, he's just got to grow into that role.
So moving on to the other side of the ball, and quarterback Nick Mullins has announced that he's going to start on Monday Night Football against the Giants. What's he going to see in his second career start? And particularly one player I want to ask about, actually, before we go big picture with the New York Giants defense is Janoris Jenkins, because he's the guy I think I noticed last year that he had kind of quit on the team. And it's like he just decided not to cover anybody more and anymore. And that was a huge part of the 49ers beating the New York Giants. Where's he at this year? And then I'll ask you some more questions about overall with the New York Giants defense. But what's going on with Janoris Jenkins?
I'd like to know that myself because, you know, it's interesting. In the beginning of the year, he was burned on a few plays, and we were told, you know, look, there were circumstances where it looked like it was him, you know, but he didn't have the safety help or he fell down or whatnot. But right now, Janoris Jenkins, according to Pro Football Focus, has the highest NFL rating of all the Giant corners. I think it's up want to say 130-something. It might be maybe a little under that, but it was the highest rating. He's also given up 6 touchdowns, according to Pro Football Focus. That is not the Janoris Jenkins we saw in 2016 when he was a Pro Bowler. And, you know, as to what's going on with him, that's a real good question. I don't think there's an injury involved. As you know, he had some off-season drama. Unfortunately, you know, there was the death of a friend allegedly involving his brother, William, who is, I believe, still incarcerated based on that unfortunate tragedy. So you wonder if that's weighing on him. Now, I know Jenkins, you know, he when we talk to him, he goes, it's football, football's football. You know, it's my job. I've got a job to do. But still, when you have that kind of, you know, upset, I guess, in your life, I would find it hard to concentrate if I knew, you know, my brother were, you know, facing potential murder charges or homicide charges. But, you know, everybody treats it differently, I guess. But it just looks like to me that Jenkins, for whatever reason, is just not comfortable in this defense. He's whether he's not communicating with the safeties, I just don't know. But, you know, I do know that they did try to move him before the trade deadline. He's got a pretty big cap hit this year. I know he's got a big cap hit next year. And I would be very surprised if he's with the Giants next year, because right now, the last couple of years, the production's just not matching the money that he's being paid.
Yeah, you mentioned that rating and opposing quarterback ratings being huge against him. And I think that's one of the things the 49ers utilized last year was hitting Goodwin deep against Jenkins. And I think they're going to try to go back to the well there and see if they can catch him gambling, which I know Janoris Jenkins has tended to do in his career, sometimes coming up with big plays, sometimes getting beat with big plays. What is working for the New York Giants defense right now? What is going to be the toughest thing for the 49ers going up against that Giants D?
I would say probably that young defensive line. I really like that unit. I think right now that unit is probably the strength of the defense. And I say that despite the facts that Damon Harrison, the great run stuffer that they had for, you know, since 2016, they just traded him to the Lions. He's no longer in the picture. But Dalvin Tomlinson, B.J. Hill, has been playing really well. Kerry Wynn has come on. This week, the Giants just activated R.J. McIntosh, who is the last of their draft picks, who was yet to get on the field. He missed the first 8 weeks or so due to a illness that they never disclosed the nature of. So they have a lot of young talent on that defensive line. Mario Edwards is another guy who has played, you know, fairly well. And I think that is their strength. Now, with that said, you know, teams have been able to run against the Giants, but I'm noticing, you know, the last couple of games, the Giants have started to clamp down on that a little bit. So I'm just looking forward to seeing the battle in the pit. I've always been a big fan of the battles in the pit because that's where games are won and lost. And this young group that they have has just been playing lights out of late, and I think it's going to be a good test for the 49ers offensive line.
I think maybe my favorite matchup in this game is going to be tight end George Kittle going against Landon Collins. How do you like that matchup, and what kind of player is George Kittle going to see in Landon Collins on Monday night?
Well, Landon is an interesting scenario here. He's always been a solid player, a solid tackler. This year, for whatever reason, I know he's missed a few tackles, more so than I recall him missing the first half of last year. I don't remember the exact number. I want to say it's around 6 or 7. But he's always had double-digit misses in each year of his career. But, you know, it's interesting because in the beginning of the year, Landon Collins was almost invisible. You did not see him making any kind of, you know, game-changing plays. And I finally went up to him a couple weeks ago, and I said, Landon, what's going on? Are you hurt? What exactly is going on here? And he explained, you know, who's nice about it. He said, you know, teams are running away from me. You know, I have to run and earn everything I get, whether it's running across the field, chasing guys down the field, etc. Now, Collins, you know, as a cover safety, that's not really his strength. He's more of a box safety. But what's interesting is you know, under the old defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, they would blitz him. They would do all these fancy things with getting pressure. James Betcher, the new defensive coordinator, hasn't really done it that much. So I think if they send, you know, George Kittle up on a seam route, he might draw Curtis Riley instead of Landon Collins, would be my guess, because, you know, Curtis Riley's been the guy who's been doing the coverage. And what's interesting about that is Riley's had some trouble with taking proper angles. So that's a matchup that I think would concern me if it ends up in that type of matchup.
Okay, we got to get some predictions going here before I let you go, Patricia. So how do you see this thing? How do you see this thing ending on Monday night? 49ers, I think, are favored by 3, according to my bookie going into this one.
Yeah, you know what? During the first half of the season, I think I picked the Giants to win, I want to say, 3 or 4 times, and I got burnt. And I swore to myself that I will not pick them again to win until I see for myself some progress. Now, you know, the players, again, will say, we're close. I'm like, okay, great. You've been saying that for weeks, and you still haven't gotten over the hump. So I need to see them get over the hump. They have struggled to score. They have struggled to protect the quarterback. The defense has played very well. They, you know, the last several games, they played well enough to keep, you know, the team in the game. I think only against the Eagles was there a gross margin where it was one-sided. So I'm going to say it's going to be a close game. I'm going to say, let's go with 24-17 49ers.
Yeah, I know when we were talking about this earlier, you said I had a lot of guts predicting that the Giants would score over 20 points because I had them scoring 21. And so that's interesting coming, you know, interesting viewpoint that points haven't come easy for the New York Giants. And so I think that's going to be obviously a key for the 49ers is if they're able to get up early, get a little bit of movement going like they did against the Raiders. I think it might be the biggest impact for the 49ers is getting that lead and then running the ball. And they were able to do that last week. So I think that's going to be a huge part of this game.
Well, absolutely. You know, the Giants, they've been talking about wanting to start fast. I think, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know they've only scored a touchdown, I want to say, on one opening drive this year. They've struggled. And, you know, it just seems like they keep shooting themselves in the foot. You know, they'll have a big play, and then, you know, the next two plays, they'll be either a sack or a loss of yardage or a penalty or something that sets them back. And it's just like it's one step forward, two steps back with this offense. And it's been very frustrating to watch.
Patricia, can you tell the listeners where they can find your work?
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina. And that's really the best place to find where I'm posting articles and whatnot, because, you know, I write for so many outlets, The Athletic, Forbes, I'm a contributor with SB Nation's Big Blue View, Inside Football, the Maven New York Giants. So there's a lot of places I write for. So the best thing to do is to check my Twitter account, like I said, at Patricia_Traina, T-R-A-I-N-A. And I am the host of Locked On Giants. So you can find the Twitter account for that, Locked On_Giants.
That is Patricia Traina. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. And looking forward to this Monday night matchup.
Same here. Thanks, Brian.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks again to Patricia for joining the show. Thanks again to everybody for listening. I'll be back tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.